Well, that was all about dealing with the many liabilities and problem issues that confronted both Bill and Hillary. We obtained access to internal documents, emails, et cetera, and there was a list of some 75 issues that confronted the defense team, many of which involved Hillary. They obviously included Bill's draft problems, his womanizing problems, but also her legal career, some of their financial issues. And the defense team's job was to tamp this stuff down, suppress it, if necessary, cover it up. We recount an incident in which Hillary was listening to a secretly recorded audio tape that had been made by supporters of Bill, listening in on a conversation by some of their opponents. We talk about how Hillary herself told one of her campaign aides that if she ever released information about the senator's, or I'm sorry, about Hillary's commodity trade, she'd never work in Democratic politics again. It was a pretty tough, no-holds-barred operation that operated sort of behind the scenes and was meant to deal with the various liabilities that were out there and that could unravel the campaign. Because if you remember, in the first months of the campaign, Bill Clinton was reeling. The Jennifer Flowers thing had exploded. He had to go on TV with Hillary and explain that, and then the draft issue came up. So they were afraid that one more big negative thing could take out the campaign.
You also report in the book that Hillary Clinton was actually actively involved in the creation of the ethics watchdog group CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, best known among some of our listeners probably for receiving and distributing some of those naughty instant messages written to legislative pages by former Congressman Mark Foley. But how was the senator involved in creating CREW?
Well, we recount in the book how one of the people in the Senate who worked for her was invited to some of the initial brainstorming sessions that led to the creation of CREW. And I should point out, in fairness, that the woman who went says she did it on her personal time, not while she was on the Senate payroll. But she did go back and report to Senator Clinton about what was happening and about the need to help raise money from liberal and progressive Democratic sources to help CREW get off the ground. And so there was an effort, in part because Senator Clinton was someone who knew this issue well. She herself had been the subject of attacks by sort of the conservative equivalent of CREW, which was Judicial Watch. So this was a an interesting interface between Senator Clinton and one of her people on the Senate staff and the people at CREW as they were sort of putting together their organization.
Now, I believe also in your book you've reported that Senator Clinton at one point has hired secret staffers. Who were they and how were they secret?
Yes, well, there are two things in that regard. Number one, she had a number of people who worked for her as fellows, dozens of them, and many of them should have been reported by the senator in filings with the Senate, and also should have been pledged to abide by the rules of the Senate, and none of that happened for 6 years. And there was only one fellow where she made a partial disclosure, and ironically, that demonstrates that she knew what the rules were, but somehow didn't follow them for the many other people. And the other thing with regards to her Senate and sort of the secrecy issue is she had a secret energy task force that she consulted in 2006. They prepared a 40-page memo for her. They met for a long session with her in her office and advised her on energy issues. And they were told that, their identities would never be disclosed and the whole thing would be kept secret. And she, of course, publicly is a champion of open and honest government. But as these couple examples I just cited show, she doesn't always adhere to her own goals.